Let's turn in our Bibles, please. And we're turning to 2 Kings and the chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to take a few moments just to read some verses together. Verse 1 through to verse 7. The Lord really spoke to my heart this passage this week. I've never preached in this passage. And the Lord really challenged me, spoke to me. And I trust that the Lord will speak to your heart and my heart afresh and grant and give to us all a word in season. 2 Kings 6, reading from the verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and they came to Jordan. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Amen. And we trust and pray that God will bless our hearts this day, the public reading of his precious word. Today we're going to look at this passage under the title, The College Student Who Lost His Head. And let's just pray briefly with God's word open and spread before us, please. Heavenly Father, we ask that thou wilt speak to each one who is now listening to thy word and will listen. We pray, grant to us all a word in season. We need to hear thy voice. Close out everything that would seek to steal away our attention, thoughts and concerns for this week. We pray, Lord, close us in with thyself, and grant, Lord, that we will hear thy voice. O God, it is our desire above all that Jesus Christ will be uplifted and glorified. Hear prayer today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The axe is an instrument that has been used since early times to shape and to split wood, to cut down trees, and of course has been used extensively as a weapon. The axe, therefore, is an important tool, especially whenever it comes to the production of harvesting timber. To this very day, the axe is used globally for various uses. Now, the axe is mentioned a number of times in the Word of God. For instance, when we turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, if you'd like to turn back with me, please, to Deuteronomy and the chapter 19. Here we have mentioned in this portion in Deuteronomy 19, where the Lord was speaking to Moses about the cities of refuge and how that he was going to provide a place of safety and shelter for someone who had taken a life and had taken that life accidentally. Basically, let me just explain it very quickly. If in the East someone was killed, their nearest relative, their kinman, kinsfolk, would become what was called the Avenger of Blood. It was the duty of the Avenger of Blood to seek out the person who had taken their loved one's life and to put them to death. However, the Lord said that if someone took a life accidentally, they didn't mean it, then they could flee to one of six cities of refuge. And they're a wonderful picture of Christ. Now, we're not going to look at that today. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 19, here we read of someone who's eligible to flee to a city of refuge. And the Lord gives an illustration. Here's someone who's able to go to one of those cities. Look at verse 5. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbour to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbour that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live. And that's a very clear illustration. The Lord was saying, there's a man and he's cutting down timber. Somehow the axe head leaves the handle, the helve. It kills a person beside him. The Lord says, flee for your life. Man, realize the avenger of blood is now going to seek to put you to death. You didn't mean to take the life, but nevertheless, he's going to seek justice. Flee to one of the six cities of refuge. And there we find the illustration was clearly given. And the Lord used the illustration there of a man cutting with an axe because that was an everyday occurrence. This is something that happened on a daily basis. Now, whenever we turn back to 2 Kings in the chapter 6, we read about a certain man here who lost his axe head while he was cutting down a tree. He was, as verse 1 tells us, he was one of the sons of the prophets. These were students of the Word of God. He were men who were in training for the ministry. We could, in a sense, I suppose, liken Elisha to the president of the Bible College. He's going to instruct them. He's going to teach them. He's going to guide them. As they were cutting down one of these trees, this student here lost his axe head. And he cries out to Elisha that he'd lost his cutting edge. It is this event that I want us to consider this morning under the heading, under the title, The College Student Who Lost His Head. Consider with me here, first of all, the recognition that he laboured with an axe head. You see, as we look at the passage, I feel that it's really important that we grasp the fact that the man here who lost the axe head was someone who was actively involved in the work of the Lord. And we could perhaps very quickly skip over that detail and come to the point and the significance of losing the axe head. But I feel that it's very important that we understand he was a man who was serving the Lord. There are a number of things that I want you to consider about him. Consider, for instance, his concern. Look with me here at the verse 1. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Elisha, we've outgrown the building. There's not enough room for us. Elisha, we haven't got enough space. We're in a narrow place here. Here was a man, this man who lost the axe head, who had a concern about the work of God. He wanted to see the work of God prosper. Consider also with me here his character, because that is evidently brought out here in the verse 2, where we read with these Bible College students, they said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And here, these students, basically, they came to Elisha, and they said, Elisha, there's not enough room. Elisha, what should we do? We want to go to Jordan, and we want to build a greater building. But what should we do? And you see there, in that very those very remarks, humility. Here were men who were humble. They seek direction. They want, in a sense, the blessing of Elisha upon this ministry. Then we also see not only his concern and character, but also his commission. Because as we read there in the latter part of verse 2, as he presented the need before Elisha, Elisha says, go ye. Elisha gives them this wonderful commission. He tells them to go. Of course, when we consider the need that there is and the advancement of God's kingdom, there needs to be the great commission of the going forth of the Lord's people. Oh, may that continually be ever before us, the need of others around about us. The great need that there is. You think of his company. Look with me here at verse 3. The company this man had, and we're recognizing here that he labored with an axe. Look at verse 3, it's, and one said, so in other words, there's one of the students here is a delegate. He goes to Elisha and he says, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Here, this man who labored with the axe, he's one of this great company of Bible College students. You can see they're a great bunch of men, and here he is going forth, and he desires the company of those of like precious faith. He not only desires that, but he desires the fellowship and the communion and the company of the man of God. Can I say that we're all like the people that we are friendly with and keep company with, all of us. To this very day, all of us are like the people we're around. You might say, well, how is that? Because if you find yourself in the company with others who will criticize and complain and do those things, very soon you'll be doing the exact same thing. And our company is important. Can I speak to young people here? Your company is vital. That you keep the right company throughout teenage years and into your 20s, etc., etc. Friendship is essential. So we're learning some things about this man. We see his concern, character, commission, company. But what about his cooperation? Look at verse 2 again. Let every man take a bean. So here, each one of them is going to take that bean individually, but they're going to do it collectively. They're going to work together. There was cooperation here. They worked together. They labored together. Oh, the need for unity is here seen. Can I say that we must always guard unity in the church family? Guard it. We must protect it. In the book of Ephesians, we're not going to turn to it because we get sidetracked, but in the book of Ephesians, we're told we are to forbear one another in love. And what that simply means is someone may do something a little bit differently from the way you would do it, but learn to put up with it. Learn to, and I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about something doing something sinful. But whenever they do something, I don't want to give an illustration, but they do something just the way you wouldn't. Just learn to say, well, Lord, that's not the way I do it, but you know what? Lord, bless my brother or sister in Christ. I'll stand with them, I'll pray with them. And we need to guard the unity. Cooperation, here he was, working with others. What about his commitment? It said, but as one was felling a beam, here he was committed to the work. He had a concern for the work. He was working with others. But he's now put his hand to the axe. He's cutting away at the tree. He's committed to the work of God. Let us remember that before he lost the axe head, he was one who was most certainly dedicated and committed to the cause of the Lord. You see, we could be very quick to criticize and say, oh, look at that man, he lost the axe head. He lost out with God. And fail to recognize that, first of all, he certainly was a man who had a great love for the work of God and the Lord's people. Oftentimes, Peter comes in for criticism, doesn't he? Peter took his eyes of the Lord. He began to look at the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. But here's the reality. Peter stepped out in faith and walked in water. Now, there are great lessons that we can learn. And of course, the Lord spoke to him about having that little faith. But Peter stepped out. And you and I need to step out in faith and keep our eyes fixed and focused upon the Lord. We've seen here the recognition that he labored with an axe head. But I want you to consider also the realization that he lost his axe head. Maybe the thought is today, well, this is a message that really isn't that relevant to me. After all, I'm in the work of God. I'm serving the Lord. I'm seeking to go on with the Lord and do what I can to the best of my ability for the Lord. Let us all stop, self included, and consider here was a Bible college student. And we've already seen some of the characteristics of his life. He was humble. He knew what it was to work together with others. He's committed to the work of God. He's got a good heart, a desire, a burden for the work of God. We can't fault him in that. And there, as he's engaged in the work of God, it was then, at that very moment, that he lost the cutting edge. The ability to progress was gone. Now we would have to say he did not intentionally set out to lose the axe head. After all, he was engaged in a great and good work. He did not willfully intend for this to happen. But the reality is, it did. The question that we need to ask is, where did it go wrong? You see, here was a man who was working tirelessly, but he wasn't watching. He was busy cutting down that tree, stroke after stroke, no doubt, using all of his energy, all of his strength, with every stroke that he drew. But he failed to take time to check that the axe head was still correctly joined to the handle. He should have checked the condition of the axe. that the bond between the head and the handle was solid, and the edge was still sharp. Many years ago, I was out with a couple of friends. I was visiting at a friend's house. He's now a pastor in a work in America. But at that time, Paul was living just outside Guildford, and he had invited a few of us to come round. And then, of course, it was with an ulterior motive. He asked one of the men to cut the lawn. And so the lad got the lawnmower out and got it all ready, started the engine up, and he was pushing it up and down, this electric mower, up and down the grass and up and down the grass. But, you know, something was really striking. There was no grass being cut. And then he turned, and here's the usual thing. This lawnmower is rubbish. He was blaming the lawnmower. And then Paul, of course, said, "Did you let down the blades?" "What do you mean, let down the blades?" "Oh, it's a special lawnmower. You've got to let down the blades." Okay. You see, he was quick to criticise the instrument. Of course, a good workman never blames his tools. And from an appearance, it looked as if all was well. After all, it looked right. It was making the right sound. But underneath, there was a problem. There was no engagement. And there was no cutting been done. And as we consider here the axe head, what does it represent? Of course, it clearly represents the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit. "It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." You see, in order to serve the Lord, we must have the power of the Spirit. We cannot do God's work without the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." You've got to wait. You can't serve without the power. You need the power. Then, of course, in Acts chapter 1, you have the occasion where the Lord's disciples were questioning him. That was after the resurrection, that time before he ascended into heaven. And they wanted to know about end time things, what was going to take place. And the Lord brought their focus once again to the very fact that they needed to wait in Jerusalem. They needed to tarry. They needed to be endued with power from on high. We are to be filled with the Spirit of God. You and I, to live the Christian life, we must know the infilling of the Spirit. The Lord has given us this very clear instruction in his word, hasn't he? That we are to be filled with the Spirit. Now, as we serve the Lord and seek to advance the kingdom of God, it is absolutely vital that we take time not only to work, but also to watch. To check that we are firmly joined to the Lord, to ensure that there is that strong bond. Can I say, it is so important that we have that quiet time, that time when we shut the door and get alone with the Lord. Remember, going back to our week of prayer in Kilkeel many years ago, when Dr. Paisley was preaching, and he was challenging the ministers and the students and the missionaries, and he said, "I wonder, how often does your wife have to say, 'I'm sorry, he's not available now, he's in the secret place, he can't be disturbed'?" We've got to close ourselves off. We've got to hear from God. Now, it's good to reflect upon past blessings, and we thank the Lord for everything that we've received from his hand, and we reflect upon them, and we rejoice in what God has done, and we thank the Lord for all the advancements that have been made over the years. But listen, we cannot live on past blessings and experiences. As the hymn writer penned it, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word?" Child of God, I want you to go back to that first place in those early days when you came to faith in Christ. And there was a burning desire and zeal, not only for the work of God, but for the Lord himself. For the Lord himself. You see, the axe head needs to be sharp and in place. We need to walk in the Spirit, to worship in the Spirit, to witness in the Spirit, to work in the Spirit. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. Now, we all have to ask ourselves the question, self included, have I lost the axe head? We need to take time to examine our own hearts. We all need to be open and honest before the Lord. You see, from a distance, this man who was cutting at the tree, from a distance, it would have looked that everything was fair and well. After all, the movement was still going. And what took place with him? I certainly believe it was a gradual process. The axe head became, a stroke after stroke, a little bit more loose each time. And there was a progression here. And if he had been checking, he could have corrected it. Remember that time whenever Samson arose, unaware that the Spirit of the Lord, the power of the Lord, was no longer upon him? What a heartbreaking picture there in Judges chapter 16 of Samson, the great servant of the Lord, sitting there in the prison house. And he's blind and his eyes are plucked out. And he's now in bonds. He's in fetters and chains. The mighty Samson. He lost the cutting edge. Of course, the devil will come, the child of God, and say, "It's all over, you're finished. You'll never do anything for God. Look at your failures." Let me say, we all have failures. And Samson, it's recorded, slew more in his death than he did in his life. I think of Peter. In that time, whenever Peter denied the Lord with oaths and with curses, "I know not the man. I don't know him." Swearing and cursing. And after the cock crew, he went out and he wept bitterly. He realized, he repented. What had he done? I think it's beautiful. I want to encourage you, the next time you're reading through the book of Acts, just think about how many times Peter is mentioned, standing, preaching, exhorting. Peter, the one who had failed the Lord, now being used mightily by God. You see, the Lord wants us to be in that right place. He wants to use us. He desires to use us. Once the seminary student, this man here, had realized that the axe head was lost, he cried out, "Alas, master!" For it was borrowed. Notice that he went to Elisha and he told Elisha what had taken place. He was honest there. He didn't try to cover it over, to mask over it, just to continue on. And he acknowledged, "Elisha, I've borrowed the axe." He owns up to the fact that he was responsible for its safe return and he had borrowed that implement. How could he replace it? After all, he was a college student. You see, Old Testament law taught that a man who borrowed something, he either had to return it or make it good with the one he had borrowed it from, with the lender. All that we have has been lent and given to us by the Lord. Everything, our very next breath, God has given to us. In that sense, all that we have has been lent to us and given to us. And this man recognized he had borrowed the head, borrowed the axe, but he was unable to do the work without it. The recognition of his labour, the axe, the realisation that he had lost the axe head, the requirement for him to locate the axe. You see, he brought the burden and the problem to Elisha, to the man of God. He went seeking advice and help. And can I say that in our times of distress and trouble, it is vital that first of all we go to the Lord. We take our burdens to the Lord. We bring them to the Lord. And let me say, we could think, well, it's just an axe head. It's just a little thing. Do you know the Lord is interested in every single detail of our lives? We might think it's insignificant or small, but to the Lord it matters. Why? Because you matter to the Lord. It's not small to him. The man of God, Elisha said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. You see, Elisha here, he instructed him to go back to the place where he had lost the axe head. What he was to do here was, he was to retrace his steps, to go back to that very location, that very exact spot. Now, it fell into the River Jordan. And Jordan, of course, was a very murky, dirty water. Perhaps it was the fact that he wasn't able to see it there in the water. Or perhaps it had fallen to a great depth and wasn't able to reach it and the axe head was lost. But he brings Elisha to the very spot where he had lost his axe head. Right to that place. Remember, Revelation chapter 2, the seven churches in Asia Minor, and the first letter given to the church at Ephesus. And outwardly it looked perfect. After all, they were standing against false doctrine, false prophets. The church, the believers at Ephesus, it seemed as if here is the ideal church. You see, man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart. And as the Lord looked at the church, he said, "I have somewhat against thee." The word "somewhat" is italicized. It's not in the original. The Lord was basically saying to his church, "I'm against you. Because thou hast left thy first love." You see, before we give the Lord our hands, our feet, our bodies, our minds, the Lord desires the Lord deserves our heart. That we serve him, yes, because it is our duty, because it's a joy in the light, but we serve him because we love him. The church at Ephesus, the Lord gave to them the answer, what they needed to do. They were instructed to remember how it used to be to repent, to turn away from their wrongdoing and to return, to come back to the Lord. Oh, what great advice. Child of God, remember. Remember those special times of prayer that you used to have with the Lord, that communion, that fellowship, just to sit before the Lord, to bask in his light. We need to do likewise. But in closing, here we have the recovery for this servant, this student. He had to lift the axe head, the recovery. He had to lift the axe head. We're told here in the verse 6 about Elisha, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now this seemed a very strange thing to do. Why would the man of God cast down or cut down a stick? Why would he throw it into the river? What was the purpose? Well, let me make it very clear. The what took place here, this event, was without question a miracle. The modernists will try to explain it away. Whenever Elisha cast in the stick, let me make it very clear, he didn't somehow hook up the axe head or get it some way. Once he cast the stick in, the axe head floated. It was a miracle. Notice that the stick had to be cut down. It's a picture of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Saviour. The one who was wounded, who was bruised, who was beaten. The one who was forsaken and afflicted. The one who was cut off. The one who paid the great price for our sins to reconcile us to God. It speaks to us, doesn't it, about the sufferings of the blessed Son of God. The one who is our great sin bearer, our substitute. Elisha cut down the stick and then he cast it into the Jordan. Now Jordan in scripture represents death. That's what it speaks to us of, the River Jordan. Death. We think of how the Lord Jesus Christ was cut down, cut off. We think of how he died and paid the price for our sins in order that we, poor sinners who were lost in the depths of sin, might rise up and be joined to him. The Holy One, the sinless One, became our substitute to bear away our sins. You see, the cross is the answer to man's greatest need. Now, it's not the wood of the cross. We know that. It's the work of the cross. It is the Christ of the cross. In Exodus chapter 15, we have the account, the time whenever the children of Israel had left Egypt and had now set out on that pilgrim journey, that journey through the wilderness. They were only 3 days into that experience. Just 3 days. There they were. The Lord had delivered them. A great miracle bringing them through. Walking through on dry land, parting the sea, there they walked through. They had experienced that. Imagine them. You would imagine, wouldn't you? You'd be so filled with faith and wonder. You come tomorrow, sure, God can do anything. But here's a reminder of our human nature and our proneness to unbelief and not to trust God. In Exodus chapter 15, we read here about this occasion, coming to the rivers or the waters of Marah. And here the people turn against Moses. Moses with nothing to drink. Verse 25. Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And there was a tree all along. It was right beside him. It was nearby. You see, the answer is right at hand. And he took the tree down, he cut it down, and he cast it into the waters, and the bitter waters were made sweet. Oh, what a picture of Christ, of salvation, of what we have in Christ. He cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. You see, this college student had to retrace his steps right back to the very place where he lost the iron head. And after it had been raised, Elisha instructed him, "Take it to thee." And he put his hand upon it, and he took it. And the thought is here in closing, he had to actually lift the axe again. He had to take the axe head, and it had to be, once again, taken in the hand. He had to hold it. You think of Jacob, who said, "Lord, I will not let thee go except thou bless me," who laid hold upon the Lord and upon Christ. We are to hold fast upon the Saviour. John Newton wrote these words: "Not one concern of ours is small. If we belong to him, to teach us this, the Lord of all, once made the iron to swim, insignificant to man's eyes, not to the Lord. Child of God, you are so precious and valuable to him. Every minute detail of your life he cares about. The Lord desires that we would be in that right place, have that cutting edge, and that we would serve him and live for him in the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless his word to our hearts this day for Jesus' sake. Amen."